Okay, so we're holding here in Siva Yisurin. The Sefer Mishlei. Mus Hashem bni al timus val tokutz v'techachtoi. So Shlomo Melech says that a person should not be mo'is, the mus of Hashem, and not become fed up with his techacha. Ke'es ha-she'yev Hashem yachiach, u'ke'aves ben yiratzeh. Because like a Shbroch who's mochiach, the one that he loves, and like a father, a child. Asholem yafik chachm v'goymer. Shlomo Melech ha-tzuleyma, kashi yisurim bala adam al yei boyet behem. Person should not rebel against yisurim, rak yikabla yisurim be'ava. So that's one point. Two, v'oma oid al tokatz b'techachtoi. Harishna mekineged yisurim shal ava, shei mechapes, v'loi yisurim shal ava, shei mechapes loi motza chet ba'atzmoi, u'bevara in yisurim shal ava. וכנגד יסורים של מוים של חט, אומה ועל תוקץ בתחכתוי, כאשר מוצא חט בעצמוי, בוים יסורים לו, ויהיה קץ בתחכתוי. So Shlomo Melech says that there are two dargis of Musar, of Yisurim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is Musa Hashem Bnei Al Timos is Yisurim של Ava, ועל תוקץ בתחכתוי is going on Yisurim of an Aveira and so on. So he briefly alludes here to the concept of Yisurim Shal Ava, and he speaks more about it later on when he speaks about what a person should be titled Yisurim on and so on. So let's try a little bit to understand, I guess, jump the gun a bit. This whole parak over here, he speaks about Yisurim Shal Ava. But let's try to understand, at least in this context, the word Yisurin, Musar, Yisurin, they come from the word like Sar means to go off the derech, to stray. Musar is to put you back. The pain is a type of feedback mechanism. So I guess in two ways. Pain is a feedback mechanism when something is wrong. That's one element of pain. And a person, if let's say a bone is broken or it's misaligned or something or other, then the goof responds with pain. There's another type of pain where a person is trying, for instance, to develop his muscles, to lift more, to run quicker, to do some sort of feat. There will always be some pain associated with it, because basically he's trying to push beyond his comfort zone, beyond his limits, and those are the two mainstays of pain in a person. One is when something is wrong, and one is when something is being directed towards or pushed towards something that is beyond certain boundaries. Now, the yischocha is where a person has done something wrong. And the person is, so when you mochiach somebody, you're basically pointing out to him what's wrong. And that's called techacha. The purpose of yisurim that come for, that point out a person's wrongdoings, allow him to be metakin what he's done wrong. That is one element. The second element is when a person is pushed to be better, and it can come in many ways. A part of that will be difficulty. I want to point out difference in words. There's Musa Hashem Bni Al Timas. So Ve'al Tokotz Echachto. There's Moos and there's Tokotz. The word, let's define the difference between mos and tokoitz. Tokoitz means that I don't have the ability. The problem is I don't have the ability to absorb something. The word kates means an end. It says, Rashi says that like on Shabbos, a person can eat and his nafshi is not kotzeba. Kotzeba means I don't have the ability to bring it into me anymore because I just don't have enough of a kli kibble. Mos is the thing itself is no longer attractive to me. It has nothing to do yet with my own limitation of a kli kibble, but the thing itself has stopped being attractive to me. You know, I used to, for instance, let's give an example. I used to enjoy golf, let's say. For full disclosure, I never did enjoy golf. I have no idea what golf is, really. I just know by pictures, I don't know anything. But a person enjoyed golf. I don't enjoy it anymore. It's not the pshat, really, that I just don't have kli kibble for more golf. I only have a kli kibble for 100 games of golf. I don't have a kli kibble for 100 first game of golf. It simply means that it no longer, yes, you know, over familiarity has bred a distaste or an apathy towards it. Whereas kites is, eating is always good for me, but once I've eaten a liter or 2 liters worth, I mean, I just don't have a way to put it, and that's why I don't want it. So both of them are a type of repulsion. One of them is because if my stomach was twice as big, I would tell you just to pack it on, but I can't, and that's called kites. I've reached my ends and limits of being able to have it. Mos is, you know, it had an attraction to me, was interesting. But so even if I'm hungry, but I've had potatoes so many times, I'm just tired of potatoes. It's not that I'm hungry, but I don't want potatoes because I'm tired of potatoes. So the first one is Musa Hashem B'nei Al Timas. When you're talking about goals, I'm trying to reach a certain goal that's, you know, I'm striving for a certain level of greatness, let's call it, or whatever you want to call it. And then I say, you know, it's hard and it's difficult, and I'm just, that's it. I'm not in the mood for more. I can't say, well, you know, you've cured half of my illnesses. It's enough. I don't need to be cured of all my illnesses. That's a silly taina. But I just don't have the ability to put up with the pain anymore, the suffering anymore. So he uses Musa Hashem B'nei Al Timas, that's talking about one part of it, and Val Tokets B'Techachto is the second part. And then it says, Kesheya V'Hashem Yochirch Aves Ben Yiratze, Asher Yivichochem, and so on. So Shemel says a person should not reject Yisurim, and so on. Harishnama Kineged Yisurim Shal Ava Shei Mechapes V'lo Motzechet Ba'atzmoi. The first one is talking about the Yisurim Shel Av, and we'll see in a second what that is. And then the Kenegad Yisurim Shel Mamish Shel Chet, Omer Val Tokes V'Chachtoi, like we explained before. The difference between Teichoch and Yisurim, and the difference between Kotz and Mos. Kashem Motzah Chet Ba'atzmoi Boim Yisurim Olo, V'Aye Keitz V'Techachtoi. V'Omer, Kesa Sheya V'Hashem Yuchiach, Kloima, Ki V'Musar Teichoch Shemela Kodesh Baruch Shel Av, Eichim Hapchoi Som Lesina Sheya Mos V'Techachtoi. So he says, if a person was able to look in a bigger picture, for instance, a child, when they go to a doctor and the doctor has to cut something out or remove something, a child is very mindful of the pain and and doesn't want it. An adult who knows the consequence of something else is happy. Yes, it's painful, but at least he's not going to say stop. He's going to grit his teeth and bear it because he understands what the tachlis is. A person who is in school, a kid is in school, is miserable because a kid has no sense of what's it for? I mean, yes, the teachers tell them it's very important, but you know, it doesn't register with a kid. So a kid is very, very upset with the discipline of having to sit all day and all night and to work and to study and so on. The same child becomes an adult and he's running a business and he needs to learn all sorts of skills and things that he's missing. So the person, what the person does is, the person person as an adult understands the scope of what he's supposed to be doing and why he's doing it. He understands what knowledge is missing, what training is missing, or if he's in a dead-end career, he's kind of doing nothing and he wants to study something that's going to be rewarding. The person, it's not that it's not difficult for him, but the difficulty doesn't make him reject the course that he's taking. He says, I've settled down, I glue myself to my seat. It's not easy for me, but I'm doing it because I have a bigger picture of it. In the context of a person in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have a big sense of things. And that sense of things is a person in this world is here to perfect himself, to bring out kochos and so on. Those kochos and everything else, the process of removing the bad from himself and developing the good for himself is strenuous. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of the strenuous part of it is we don't even understand why certain difficulties are important. But for that, we trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu that yes, in the scheme of things, this is very important for you. So the person, at least while the person is suffering, but he understands that it brings out something, he's not nimas in it. He doesn't become, because at the end of the day, it's a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for him. You know, somebody who's somebody who's not such an astute observer of human nature, and he's sitting in some environment, let's say a classroom environment, and a teacher, a Rebbe, tells him, you know, he criticizes things that he does, and another child, he's very mishabeach. So if the teacher is not especially a big chacham, or the child is not a big chacham, the assumption will be he likes the kid who he's complimenting, and he dislikes the kid that he's always criticizing. And yes, you know, many times that is the case. But in a better situation, when somebody is a star, the kid is being told what's wrong with what he's doing so that he can really become very good at it. When he's a kid who's very weak, he needs to be encouraged. I mean, I always tell the marshal, when I was a child, when I was a young boy, I was a horrendous athlete. I had no shaykhs to the parasha. So I'd say the best guy, so the coach, the best guy in the class, the PE teacher, the coach, whatever it was at the time, so the best guy was always being criticized, you know. You keep, you know, your angle is off, this is this, this is that, and so on and so forth. I only got like warm words of encouragement. Great try, wonderful, fantastic, we're really moving along. But anybody with a half a brain realizes it's because the other guy is a top athlete and he knows he's good, and the coach's job is to sort of fine-tune his co-host so that he does superbly well. I was a kid with no shaykhus to anything, so he just needed to make me feel good, kind of, and help me, you know, sort of stumble along the game. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with people, and the worst of all scenarios is that he doesn't care about you because he doesn't see any potential in you, and the attitude is do whatever you want to do. It's not, there's not much of you that will come out or can come out. When a person is being worked with, so a person is, in effect, the sense is HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. The love that we're talking about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the good and my potential to come out. I want to add a point to this. We are mispalal an awful lot not to have any yisurim. We mispalal all our tefillos are for good. I mean, starting with Chveisrifainu and Baruch Aleinu and Reino Vanyenu and so on. Those are tefillos that we want to get rid of our issues and to have only good. The answer is, there's a Chazal that says, "Bisman sheYisrael oisim din lamata ein din lamala." That if Klal Yisrael does din lamata, there's no din lamala. The point is as follows: if the only reason why I need to be pushed in line is because I'm not mindful, I'm out of line. So let's take that example. The coach keeps telling me, move your foot, put your foot over here, put your foot over there. That's because I don't realize it. And he either tells me or he sort of not so gently shoves my foot into place. But if I'm capable of getting it and becoming my own coach and moving things into place, then I don't need it. The point of the tsar is not the suffering within itself. The suffering within itself is not what makes the person a good person per se, but rather it's the fact that suffering sort of pushes in a certain direction. And there's many ways we'll see as we go on. There's sometimes outright things, do this. Sometimes it's just the fact that it removes a person from chumrius, it's mezachah person. But the bottom line is the combination of all of the combination of all of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direction is that I change. Sometimes it's because I'm not doing well where I am, and that's called Teichacha, and sometimes because I can actually be pushed to do better than I am, and that's called Yisurim Shalava.
And
I guess it's important to point this out over here. You know, he talks a lot about how a father punishes a son or gives yisurim. We don't need to translate it to a stick. It's true that once upon a time a stick was the preferred method. I think it had a lot to do with the way in which the way in which people expected the effect and so on. The point is direction. When you sit down with somebody and say, you learn through a Gemara and you say, I don't think we have it down clearly enough. Let's go over it another time and another time and another time until we have it really clear. That's when that's also Yisurim. And maybe that's the Yisurim that's enough today. I'm not a believer that whipping a kid, quote unquote, into shape is great. If that means hitting, if it means also being mean or nasty, let's say a kid doesn't know a Gemara. You can hit, which not recommended. You can yell and scream and tell them all sorts of naughty things and not recommended. You can say, okay, I see we don't have it down, then we can go over again. And the kid looks tired, not so happy. They say, no, let's take our time, we'll go over it again. Let's go back and forth. You say it, I say it, you say it, I say it. Whatever it is, the nose to the grindstone and the work with the child, and again, Ladaiti, especially if it's with a positive attitude, that we both want it, that's the equivalent of Yisurim. It's difficult, it's not easy. You know, you could just tell the kid, oh, why don't you just go play ball and that's it. When you tell the kid just go play ball, it's because you realize that there's no hope for him. I want to tell of a Maisa that I saw printed, extraordinary story, which you couldn't possibly tell it over today, that would make sense to anybody. It's printed in the Sefer about Rav Meir Chodesh, the Mashkiach HaChevron. It's a very good book. especially, I think they've translated in English. I haven't seen English translations. I don't know what it's like, but I read in the Hebrew. It's written by his daughter, so it means that there's a lot of human insight and fascinating insight. And stories they collected. And one of them is written by a Chasheva Rav, a Shiva, a Shkoyal, something. He said that when there was a Bach in Chevron, Reb Meir Chodesh called him in and said, "I'm not happy by the way you're learning. Your hasmada needs to improve." And a week later he called him back and he said, the improvement is, there's an improvement, but it's not what I'm looking for. Third week he called him and said, "Listen," he said, "I'm beginning to suspect that you may not be a person who knows how to take Teichacha. And if after this conversation I don't see an improvement, then I'm afraid I'm never going to be mochiach you again. I'm warning you." And he said that shook him up to a degree that he really made some extraordinary changes in his learning and so on. It was considered to be a badge of honor once upon a time that a person took tochacha very seriously. And he also recognized the badge of honor that came with tochacha. Obviously, if it came from a person in control of himself to the Madrega of Reb Meir Chodesh, the Baal Musa, where the tochacha was clearly not an expression of his own frustration, but a message directed forward, then you could see it as such. Then you could see it as a badge of honor that this is the tochacha given. Obviously, if the person giving tochacha is just expressing, venting his own frustration, I don't think the above would apply. It's part of it's when the teichacha is clearly coming, just for the benefit of the person getting it. But Rav Volbo was once by my father-in-law, and he used to come every yontif. Once Rav Volbo started saying shmuz in the mirror, he used to come to my father-in-law to visit him as a shiva. So occasionally I'd be there. I'd hear the stories. So Rav Volbo said that in the old days, he said, everyone knew that the mashgiach's job was to sand down a bacher. The word he used was, it's like when you have a diamond and you need to polish it. It's a bit of a process, grinding it, and it's a rough process, and that brings out its shine. So everyone understood that was job mashgiach. Today, he said, a new word entered the lexicon. It's called depression, mashber, he said. And he said, a mashgiach looks at a bacha, and the bacha already has sunk into depression. And he says, today, every bacha needs two mashgichim, one to hold him up on the right side, one to hold him up on the left side. That was the way he described it. But a person needs to view Yisurim. So we certainly are appropriate when we mispalel for good in every area. We mean to say that the Yisurim are, since it just means I am now aware of what I need to do, I will do it, and you should just give us the tools and the means, because every Yisurim takes away from a person. At the end of the day, a person who's be Yisurim is less able to do what he's supposed to do. If a person wants to, so now it's the second piece. If a person wants to avoid the Surim, the person should learn Torah. Why is that? So he's quoting himself in the Sivat Torah. Yisurim are a certain chisarn in a person, and since Torah is pure, Rakatoya Shamasakoil, So he says, when a person identifies himself with Torah, it's so to speak, at the level of chomrius that a person is, the chesronos, the pegamim, achal at the level of a guf, and whatever it is that the person's did wrong mitzad his guf, that's where you have chisaret. So that's where you have pegam, and that's where you sur machal. In as much as a person is oisik b'Torah, which means he identifies himself with Torah, then the person reaches a certain shlemus. The person is in a world that is be'etzem, it's removed from that. And b'meilo, the person is therefore the yisurim abdel meno. So I guess I assume what he means is it's a certain mode it's not just the fact that a person has to say this minute or that minute in Torah. If a person is in the mode of Torah, then the person belongs to the world of Ruchnius, and that's why he calls it Oif Priyach Mashamayim. It's not at the level where Chisar and Ischal. Chisar and Ischal on things physical, and if the person is more Ruchni himself than physical, he's Mesulik Menach Hasrainus. Okay, we're going to hold it here. Any quick questions? Anything?
Just a very quick one. Yisurim Shel Ava.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's really, no one has no one does have a couple of chatoim back things. So it's not really shy to us, or is there such a thing, yesh v'yesh, and you have to find?
I think yesh v'yesh. I think a person can have a feeling that certain things are just like in a general thing, certain things we feel are a challenge for us to rise to an occasion. Let's give an example. Let's say a person is osik with a talmid, with talmidim. Let's say it's his job, he's a rebbe, and you have a particularly difficult talmid, a particularly challenging talmid. So a person can look at it as, and should probably look at it as, yisurim shalava. This is my challenge to and I'm being tested with this one, and I'm being pushed to try to be higher. The Gemara says that Yisurim Shel Ava are where there's no Bittul Torah. In other words, if I can continue growing and it's just difficult and challenging, so I think we have some of that as well. Klal Gadol, that it used to be that everything worked with a ladder, like Mesil Zeshorim, where you start in bottom and went to the top. I think Bizman Azeh things are more muddled, and in certain areas sometimes we're in a moment of a high darga, in certain areas we're in a abysmally low darga. That's the way it is. We don't go as clear cut, and that's why I think with Yisurim Shel Ava is the same thing. There are things by us that are glaring deficiencies, and we need to scribe some of what we go through possibly because of that, and certain things are we have a bright moment where we have things that we reach up and we're sort of extraordinary about.
Rabbi,
yeah.
referring back to the story about Revolvi and the Bochrim, how
right.
What's changed in your opinion, what's caused their change?
I have some feelings and opinions. I think people, generally speaking, people today are a lot more sensitive emotionally. I remember when I came to Israel in 1970, there was, once in a while there'd be a boy that would have some emotional difficulties. Almost invariably they were Americans, not Israelis. I think that when life is tougher and you're really wrestling for basics, you don't have time to introspect or to see yourself in terms of emotional things. So when you're struggling to have a piece of bread to eat for supper, whether somebody said that you're ugly or not is not really of any consequence. Your sense of survival is focused on the physical. When you have plenty of stuff and this person called you ugly, nobody wants to talk to you, that becomes a major crisis. That's what I think it's a contributing factor. I know, listen, it's my it's an observation.
Okay.
Not that it's good we should go back to a survival mode, but at least it helps us understand, I think, why does it change. Okay, so in 2 weeks.
Thanks,
okay, Simchas by everybody. Kol tov, bye.